Hey, so this episode 199, continuing the theme that you'll see for the next week for our 200th celebration episode that Adrian will hopefully be sitting in on. So this one was recorded right after New Year's Eve. At the time, I felt like it was low energy. I'm thinking that's not the case now.
We listened to the very beginning.
Zach's angry about something, and I'm not sure if we get to the bottom of why, because I don't remember this.
Me either.
You were pissed.
No idea. But the two facts we learned from listening to the very beginning of the episode is I was very angry about something, and I was very drunk about something.
Were we doing the Thin Men by that point?
We must have been.
So you might have kept that under wraps then, because we're acutely aware people from the Loy might be listening at this point.
I might have held that in. We'll see.
Because there's a time where you just were not going to hold back. But it was clearly over something with work, I'm pretty sure.
That seems like a likely guess, because it couldn't have been a girl thing. I wasn't dating anyone. Couldn't have been a family thing. I mean, that
no, it was work.
I'm pretty sure
it was work.
That seems to be what I'm furious about most of the time.
And your team won the Super Bowl, so it wasn't.
So it couldn't have been that.
Yeah, but
well, Super Bowl. I don't
think
they.
Yeah, yeah, I think this was like I don't know. If the Patriots had even won a playoff game yet.
No, because pre playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure,
but it probably wasn't anything sports related.
Anyway, so it is a rerun to us, but it's brand new to you. And then there will be straight up reruns for the next 6 days. But we record new intros for everything, combine a couple of episodes. We're just basically going to do the best of
it's a retrospective, guys.
Yeah, for the next 6 days. And then on the seventh day, we created the 200th episode.
The 200 spectacular.
I also, before I forget, because I almost forgot with the beautiful lull of my own voice, forgot to like say what we were just joking about that I would forget. So I ran into my buddy Max Hay last night at Jester's. He was playing a show. It's like great guy. If you get a chance to see him, he played all over
great
the country.
Music. Great yeah. Music.
And he just moved into the neighborhood, at least through the summer. Like he is two blocks away from where we're recording right now. He is wanting to do a podcast. He gave me the synopsis. I'm not going to repeat it because it's a fluid thing and it's going to be changing, I'm sure. But we're going to work out the details. But there will be another member, another podcast to the Not Safe for Network coming up very soon. So be aware of that. Be ready. Be ready to pounce on it like a cougar pouncing on a high school kid. I don't know.
Wow, there you go. Enjoying your own voice again.
It's great, dude. I like how I go a lot and then like restate something that totally didn't happen, but in the moment I'm absolutely sure it happened. So enjoy this episode.
What's bugging you, Murphy?
Drugs bug me.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and beat about using it. So remember, don't. Or else.
One talking sky.
That's a great time, and welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Zach.
Drunk Zach.
Just me today. Well, here's the thing. I had to be drunk to cancel out how angry I am.
Do you want to talk about it on air? Is this an off-air thing?
I don't want to talk about it at all.
Okay, fair enough. So I made an interesting observation since we're all annoyed and we're figuring out our annoyances.
I'm
here.
Fucking with water bottles.
So I'm a caregiver by trade, as we've talked about. That's how I make my money. My pleasure is in podcasting. My money is in caregiving. I made an observation today. You can tell how much of an a-hole somebody is by how they want their bed made. Okay.
I can believe that.
Now let me give you like an example. So if somebody has certain sheets that you've never seen before, you're talking like level one a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so your typical bed has like a fitted sheet, like a flat sheet. Okay, maybe a mattress pad underneath, and
ooh,
then you have like
fancy.
If you're in the wintertime, you got like a warm blanket and a comforter. This is like your typical old person bed, because obviously we don't fit that, I'm sure.
That's pretty much just throw a bed skirt on that, and that's my bed right now.
Yeah, and that's because you have a wife, probably.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like a dude.
That,
like,
and it's actually to hide the guns underneath, so.
For me, it's like.
you've safe-proofed your home by having a bed sheet to, like, hide the guns?
No, it's to, like, keep it out of my wife's mind, because she doesn't really enjoy the fact that there's a weapon in my house, but.
See, I'm just like, listen, I have a mattress. I don't know what more you want from me, but I have a mattress.
Yeah. My most of my life is like, I'll have a fitted sheet and a comforter, and that's it. But there have been times in my life where I have a flat sheet that I use as a fitted sheet and like a comforter or like a blazer blanket or something.
There's no reason to have more than one sheet at any given time. Yeah.
So if you have all those, all like an unusual sheet, like if you have a certain amount of blankets that, okay, you're level one a-hole. Level two a-hole, okay? If you want them in a certain order, that's level two.
Okay? Oh, for sure.
Like, they had, like, not so much like fitted sheet, flat sheet, comforter. Like, I get that. But if you're like, the red one goes below the blue one, and then you have the meshed one, like, above the, like, if you have some sort of order for for extra blankets, that's a level two, okay? Level three. This is where you want your comforter set up, so that you have it flat across the mattress, and then you have pillows on there, and then you have like the comforter brought out and over the pillow so that it looks like it's in a movie. That's your level three a-hole. It doesn't get much worse than that a-hole. And that's what I've been noticing. Like, so not an a-hole at all. You don't even care about making the bed.
Like, oh, yeah.
That's what I've done. It's the easygoing chart if you want to just do away with the a-holes. Like, the more things you have on your bed, the more uptight you are.
That's true. That the more you put on that surface. If you have throw pillows, like, what's the log one for?
Oh, throw
pillows. What's the log one for? The one that's just a cylinder?
It's,
what the fuck is that for?
I'm going to tell you some. Throw pillows are specifically and only for decoration. I hate that I know that, but I do know that.
It's infuriating, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Fuck that.
Yeah, when you start setting up throw pillows, and let's be fair, if you have the comforter set up so that it goes over the pillows, as I just described, you have throw pillows to throw on top.
God damn right you do.
There's not another level of
a-hole
from that.
You got the square one, then the wide rectangle one, then the cylinder one.
Well, you have the, like, short cylinder one that was like a disc.
Yep.
Those people are the worst. Whoever has the pepperoni pillow, fuck you.
Unless the pepperoni pillow is like something you're like, I don't know, I didn't want to buy a pillow, so that's what I use at night.
if there's a logo of some kind on the pepperoni pillow, I can forgive you. Like, if you have a Houston Rockets logo on your little pepperoni pillow,
oh, forgiven.
That's acceptable.
Right.
If you just have like a paisley and houndstooth pepperoni pillow, what you are is either a yuppie.
I don't even know what that is.
Houndstooth, right? Like, that's a pattern for rich people.
I thought you, like, my mind went to the fox and the hound at first. And I was like, oh, you're a child. And then I was like, wait, what?
No, what houndstooth is like the pattern professors have.
Okay.
It's like a rich person pattern.
All right. So that's like you're going to a specific throw pillow store.
That's right.
And you're like dropping $3,000 on the throw pillow.
You've got a place.
Like, an animal had to die to make that throw pillow. Like,
listen.
A lot of paisleys died to make that throw pillow.
My comfort representative, Jeremy, says, if I have a...
Sorry.
If I have a throw pillow with a houndstooth pattern on top of a suede blanket, I am right up there with the most fashionable people since Madonna.
It tightened the
whole
room
together. That's what Jeremy says.
Well, see, for the people that I deal with, they would say most fashionable person since Jean Harlow.
Ooh, Jean Harlow. Yeah. Strong reference.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of someone who died a long time ago. She fits the bill, right? I actually don't know. She might be alive. Have you guys ever played that game, like, Are They Dead?
I play that game all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Like, literally every time somebody mentions an old
person reference. Can I tell you what a fun subset of that game is? And it only works with people like Gene Harlow. It's a two-part game. The first part is, are they dead? And if they're not dead, the second part is that a man's name or a woman's name? Because Gene Harlow could go either way.
Yep.
That's true. I happen to know it's a woman's name, but if I didn't know Gene Harlow, yeah, it could go either way.
It could go either way. Gene Harlow could be an angry man like Ed Asner.
That could be like Sandy Smith. Like Sandy Smith, I don't know if it's a man or woman, but I know whenever they're a man and they have the name that could go the woman direction, always an angry person.
Oh, for sure. All right, let me throw some out. Pat Wilkinson. Is Pat Wilkinson a man or a woman?
I'm going to say woman.
Okay, you're wrong. Pat Wilkinson's a man. I have no idea. How about...
this isn't an actual person.
Sam Claflin.
Woman?
That's a man.
Damn
that
it.
Dude was in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
Okay, this is an actual person.
Yeah, that one was
an actual person. I was actually playing a game, or if you just had like an answer in your head?
There was no game. I was just making this up as I went along.
So how'd you guys' holidays go? Any amusing stories? I ran into Brandon at the liquor store. That was fun. Of all places to run into you is the liquor store.
Yeah, and that place was packed. It was Christmas Eve, and yep. That place, like, oh. There was a line. Like, the way this liquor store is set up, and they have the checkout counter, like, right by the door. It's, like, in one corner.
And it's a pretty big
yeah, it's a pretty good-sized place.
Island
the line
liquor,
went kitty-corner across the liquor store.
So you found the Jews, is what you're saying.
What?
Because the Jews have nothing better. All right, I'm going to tell you this is... So...
I feel like we're
got a little
anti-Semitic. Hang on. Okay. So what do the Jews do on Christmas?
Celebrate Hanukkah, I guess?
They go
to the Chinese store.
They go to the liquor store, and then they go get takeout Chinese.
But this was a Christmas. This was Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
this
they got another...
This
what
is
are they
their
have?
Last chance to go to the liquor store.
What are they, not for the Jews.
No, there's no liquor stores
yeah,
open
there is.
In Helena.
702 Club's open every Christmas day. You want to know how I know this?
Because
I go there.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I needed acceptable family lubricant, so that was eggnog. And I went to another liquor store, no eggnog, not even sold out, didn't even bother
you can
to
just,
stock it.
You know you can just buy brandy and eggnog, right? Like you can make your own.
No.
Okay,
I didn't have time
enough.
To go back to the store and get eggnog. And I wanted good eggnog. I didn't want to be mixing stuff. Like we already had an amazing amount of things going through our kitchen because we were serving for 14 people.
Sure, okay.
So I needed pre-mixed stuff. And if you listen to us tanked... On the holidays last year, we were drinking what I wound up buying. But thank God Brandon was there because I couldn't remember which bottle it was.
So I actually, like, guessed the right way?
You did, yeah. No, when I suspected it, but I wasn't sure. And when you said it, I was confident. And it totally was. It was the good eggnog, so.
It looked better.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the bottle went.
It was technically a chocolate peppermint Evan Williams eggnog. But it was delicious. That Christian Brothers eggnog is garbage.
Yeah.
It got me drunk, though. So
Christian Brothers
that.
Eggnog?
Yeah, so there's that.
Yeah. But we had... So if you remember when we did the podcast last year, we got tanked on eggnog twice. Mm-hmm. And the first one, we were like, this is fucking good eggnog. And then I went with the other eggnog, the next podcast, and we were like, this is...
Wasn't that one with Victor where we were drinking it out of,
yes.
out of sheer willpower?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sure was with Victor. By the way, I just want to apologize again. I apologized at the top of the podcast last week because I had a feeling the audio quality is going to be bad. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. I just want to apologize to everybody. Thank you for sticking with it. It was actually our most downloaded podcast since last summer. Oh, yeah, dude. Apparently, you call a podcast 4th Annual Christmas Special. Dude, people are hitting it. I think the interview in the metadata... might have helped it too because we did talk about the interview. It's not like I just threw it in there. This wasn't no like shooting the show. Like
we've learned all sorts of lessons.
Yeah. And I remember last year when I finally started figuring out the numbers, like we did okay.
I'm glad somebody remembers last year.
Yeah. It's a little bit hazy, but I remember parts. So I'm sorry. Did you have a holiday story, Brandon? You look like you're gearing up there.
Not truly. It was pretty uneventful.
Do you guys have any New Year's Eve resolutions you're doing this year?
All right. So I'm in this in-between land. I'm torn between how badly I want to follow my resolutions and how little I want the outside public to know about them. Because if someone else knows about my resolutions, they can call me on it when I stop following them.
I remember last year it was that you were going to watch a movie you'd never seen every day or like average out
365 days. Yeah, that didn't pan out mainly because of the Myrna falling into a nightmare hellhole.
Right, but you did well for a while there.
Yeah, a strong period, I was on pace, if not more. And then it just all fell apart. Like a marathon. Like a marathon. Exactly. Like, you know how around July when you realize you don't like going to gym all that much? That's about what happened to me.
Fair enough.
How many movies would you say, like, just a number?
Probably right around 300. Like somewhere between 280 and 320. Somewhere in that range.
Having conversations
I've got a document a lot. I can go look into this.
Yeah, having conversations about movies with you a lot, I would back up that number just off the top of your head. That seems right.
Yeah.
You're always watching shit.
I've got an Excel document I can go look at to get this number from. I know it's not 365. It has to be less than that number.
That is nothing to feel bad about, though, hitting 280 out of 365.
That's not bad, right?
I probably would have given up at 7. I would have incidentally seen like maybe 150. But
something like that. Yeah. Like just on accident. You're like, oh, I've never seen this.
Yeah. Like about every 3 days I'll see a new movie.
There you go.
Just in life in general. But
so yeah, I came close, which I feel like if I had just a normal person's life schedule, I could have hit that 365 number.
Well, I've been gaining a lot of weight.
Yeah? How much is a lot?
I'm just going to throw it out there, dude. I'm at around 285 right now.
Okay, how much did you gain?
I don't know. It's probably like 20 pounds over the last year.
That's not that bad.
It is when you're my age and you've hovered around a weight for a while.
That's true.
Because I probably gained 20 pounds a year. Look, before pre-marriage...
How much did you gain
pre-marriage, I was 235. Into the marriage, I'm 285. That's a lot of weight over the last 6 years.
That's true. That's 50 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of weight. And 20 in the last year, so... And I know part of that is not going to the gym. It's funny you brought that up, but I was going to the gym semi-regularly. Like, I'd be all about it for like 2 months, and then I'd hit a lull for a month, and I'd be like, all right, I got to get back into it, and I go back. But we can't really afford the gym anymore because of this place. So it's basically my resolution is to hit back to 235, however long it takes. There's no timetable, but just to hit back to that weight, which I know is going to be tough. But before I even got to that resolution, my wife wanted to make me a bet to be the first to lose 20 pounds. Now, this is where the podcast comes in. Because if I lose, I have to clean the house, like, Florida rafters, like, everything, like a maid, she said. The entire house. We're including the cellar, dude. Like, the wine cellar in this house, like, that thing hasn't been cleaned, I feel confident saying, 10 years at least. Like, that thing hasn't been cleaned. Like, it's just, it's fucking filthy. Like, when you look at those little spots that you put the wine in, and all that shit. Like, I have to clean all of that shit, right? Everything in the house. So that's what I get if I lose the first... to lose 20 pounds, right? If my wife loses, no, my wife doesn't like talking about movies. She despises it. She does not, like, she wants to watch a movie and then just basically forget she's ever seen it, you know? She doesn't like talking about movies after we've seen it. So, what she has to do if she loses is she has to go and watch a movie of my choosing and then write a 300-word essay on what it's about.
And
which I will
aloud.
Then read on the podcast.
Okay, good. Yeah.
So that's where the podcast goes in. Dude, I cannot wait. I can't wait.
Have you ever been so inspired to win?
No. No, it's. I mean, I've been as inspired,
but never more.
But never more. Yeah, this is the peak of my inspiration. Because the idea of her, like, she was offering to do the same thing. I'm like, oh no, you want to make this a real bet? Like, I said this, and she's like, I don't want to do that. I'm like, that's why, that's your end of it. She's like, all right. So she swears she'll stick by it if she loses.
I like it. I'm rooting for you. I mean, I would have rooted for you anyway because of friendship. But now I'm really rooting for you.
It's good podcasting. You should be rooting for it. Yeah.
What movie?
It's because we couldn't have the Carrie Diaries. So what movie do I have?
Do you have a short list?
So that's the thing. When I get closer to losing 20 pounds, if I'm in the lead, we should talk this out and figure it out. But here's what I want. So I want something no less than 2.5 hours.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? The more foreign, the better. I'm not saying it has to be foreign, but subtitles would make this an even better or a lot of symbolism. That'd be
great. Oh, I'm big on symbolism.
You know what would actually be great? It's not 2.5 hours, but it would be perfect for this bet. Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Ooh.
My wife happened to sit through The Wall and then disseminate what that's about. I would love that, especially because I've watched a commentary. Like, I've heard Pink Floyd talk hours about that thing. I know what that's about. I know what the individual things of symbolism are about from the director, from Roger Waters. Like, that would be fun.
Can I throw a movie at you?
Sure. What do you got?
It's an Italian film.
Oh, I like the sound of it. What's the runtime?
Called 2 hours and 22 minutes.
That's pretty good.
It's called The Great Beauty. And the film is essentially about what happens when you're really rich and really pretentious, but you're too old for the young people to think you're cool. Yeah.
I like
it. So it's basically what happens when you're so pretentious that no one wants to hang out with you anymore.
Maybe. So if I win, here's what we'll do. If I win the bet, we'll come into the podcast and we'll each, like, come up with a number of movies, and we'll bracket. And
there
we'll
vote go.
On
there
the bracket. So it'll be like a 2-episode thing. We'll, like, vote out the movie on the podcast.
And then we'll have break it down. I like it.
Now,
I'm all
the review
on board.
May not be super fast after we get
that's
the movie
fine.
Because she's got a lot of schoolwork right now. This is her busy season. And I'm not cruel enough to be like, you have to do it immediately.
Sure.
But she definitely has to do it when she's on a 1 week break at school or something. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the nice thing is you can sort of control this in that so long as you're in the lead, you can decide when you win. So if you've lost 19 pounds, you can hold off on that last pound for a while.
Well, I legitimately want to lose weight, so
don't we all?
But basically, how I'm gonna do this is I'm not eating food with the family. Like, I will sit down and eat with them, like the twice a week that I can actually have meals with everybody. But I mean, like, I have this giant bag of fish that I never touch because my wife doesn't like fish. Like, I'm cooking that every day for lunch, dinner. I'll occasionally cook chicken. Like, that's it's like
you are gonna eat like so much rice you're not even gonna know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, it's like I get obsessive when I diet over what I'm eating. Like, it gets a little bit scary, like how I can eat the same things over and over.
You're like
again.
Listen, I will have salmon every day till I die, so long as it means I win.
Tilapia, it's cheaper and it's better tasting. And I drink a lot of coffee, so I'll probably keep doing that. Just coffee.
Good call.
And water.
Smart.
Yeah, no calories in coffee or water. So
and coffee makes you pee, which gets that water weight out of you.
Yeah, which will be important when we go to do the weigh-in. I'm going to treat the weigh-in like I did when I was in wrestling in seventh grade. Like, I'm going to run around a track like 7 times with plastic bags on.
You're going to be Floyd Mayweather of this competition.
Dude, I actually had to do that shit in seventh grade. Ugh. Like, when I look back on it, that's such a horrible idea to have kids do, but I remember I was 130 pounds, like that's what I started the year at, and I wound up being like 133 at one point, and I had to lose it all that day. And so it was like a hot day. I was in Oregon, so it was humid on top of it. and I just had to run around a track like over and over again all day long. Like I got a pass to get out of classes, which sounds fun at first.
No, it doesn't sound fun ever. Ever does it sound fun.
Yeah, and I had to run like circle after circle after circle after circle to get down to 130, right? Mm-hmm. So then I show up to the meet. There's only one other guy in my weight division, and he didn't show up. So I won by default.
Yay!
I wouldn't have even hurt the team if I didn't make it. So mad. I sacrificed my health. I'd probably be like a foot taller.
I remember when I was playing high school football, our coach made us run 300 yards for every penalty.
Ooh.
And from that moment forward, I was the cleanest player you would ever play against. I did not commit a single fucking penalty.
Don't you have to get in the game to commit a penalty?
You did. Hey, listen, man. JV counts. The JV team ran separately.
Oh, JV team. Okay. All I remembered about it was you said you were third string. Something.
That was not good. Yeah.
You had the nickname Brokeback Zach, which you fully embraced.
I have embraced. I'm really proud of that nickname.
There is a thing. So this is what people don't realize. Like, if you see a movie and they call somebody a nasty nickname, you know, it's like all shameful in a movie. But in real life, if you actually get a nickname for the most part,
you're just happy the other kids like you.
That is like a sign that people like you. It really is. Like, at least on some level, that they bother to give you a nickname, that they just don't call you shithead or moron.
Yeah, like, at the very least, they know you're not going anywhere. So they've learned to accept you.
Yeah, you might be right there. But I mean, like me and Brandon went to school with a kid named Handy, which is a whole story in itself. But nobody called him Handy who hated Handy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, it was an affectionate nickname, even though it was a horrible story. But it was an affectionate nickname. We went to school with another kid named Loader. Once again, dude, like, he put a load in his pants one day by accident, and he got the nickname Loader. But nobody called him Loader who hated him.
Yeah, the people
like,
who hated him.
We all went, Loader! And he would look a little embarrassed, but, like, it was out of love.
Exactly. You called him Loader because you didn't hate him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which, by the way, like, that's a lesson everyone can learn. High schoolers have a real problem expressing themselves. So when they call you a shitty name, as long as they sound happy when they say it, just take it as a compliment. Like, even if they're calling you the worst thing you can think of, as long as they seem happy when they say it, that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I don't think I had... The only nickname I had in high school that I remember was Cliff, and that was only when I played basketball. Because I was wearing a headband like Cliff Robinson of the Trailblazers.
Which is super specific.
Yeah. No, it was. But everybody in basketball watched basketball, so they knew exactly why I did it and who I was honoring. So, but other than that, I had no nickname in high school. But before I moved to Montana, I had a science teacher that named me Foghorn because I was really loud.
Uh-huh.
And so he called me Foghorn. Which, like, the kids started calling me, too. But it was out of love with the science teacher. He actually, like, I actually contributed in the class. And he liked me. It was just I was way too loud.
I was just too excited.
I had to dial it back a notch.
You were 5 volume points louder than everyone else.
Yeah,
at exactly. A base.
It's basically like my stepdaughter, River. I love River. She's like, when she gets excited about something, she gets so excited. And you can see the lights in her eyes, like, just so excited, but cannot keep it down. Like, doesn't matter who's sleeping. Like, when she gets excited about something, she's got to yell for whatever reason. And it's just, it's absolute insanity. But it is being young. You okay there, Zach?
I have to pee right now.
Okay. All right.
Just like wanted emergency.
Wanted to see. So we're. All right, go ahead, Brandon.
The only nickname I remember having in high school was Eddie.
That's right, because somebody said you look like Eddie Munster, right?
Yep. Because I already had the receding hairline in high school.
That's right.
So it had this, like, widow's peak thing going on.
At least we went to school with a kid named Bill. I won't drop his last name, but he literally had the Bill Murray hair by senior year. Remember?
Yep.
I mean, like, I'm not making that up. He had, like, Bill Murray and Ghostbusters hair by the time he was a senior. So at least it wasn't quite that bad.
But. No, it wasn't that bad, but It was already like traces of it happening.
Do you remember who came up with that name for you?
I was a freshman in Spanish class, like Spanish 2, because we had taken Spanish 1 with Mr. McGinley in 8th grade. So I took Spanish 2, and there was like seniors in there. And one of the seniors, I can't remember his name. His family has the upholstery place in town here. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I feel like I knew the kid too, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Anyways, he was the one that came up with that.
Yeah, and we all called you Eddie, but it was out of love.
Yeah, there was no like malice involved in that.
And the funny part about it is I never thought about the receding hairline when you thought about that. I remember being like, yeah, he kind of does look like Eddie Munster. Just a little bit, you know? I wouldn't think that now. You don't look anything like Eddie Munster now.
Yeah, but I was like skinny little kid in high school.
Yeah.
I've gained a lot of weight since then.
So have I, as we established.
I know I've pretty much doubled my high school weight, so.
Well, my heaviest was when I was 19. Like, I actually hit 300 when I was 19, which is insanely heavy.
Yeah.
And I did that, floated around there for probably like 2 years, and then I remember going to Oregon. And just being like, I'm gonna lose this weight, and just being like insane with how much weight I lost, and I dropped like 60 pounds in over a summer, like you see in movies. Yeah. It was like you see in movies, like oh, they go to the camp and then they come back and they're like, oh my god, you lost so much weight. Like that must have been what it was like for a lot of people I knew, because I just suddenly came back from Oregon, I had all this weight, and then I kept losing weight. And then from then on, I just sort of hovered around 235 with a few exceptions in my life. But
yeah, I was 105 when I graduated high school.
Yeah, I was probably around, I was probably around like 180 when I graduated from high school, and then immediately gained weight,
and
like
that's
a lot of weight.
I've been hovering right around about 180.
I used to do insane things like so. Looking back, if I'm to psychoanalyze it a little bit, I think it's because of depression at the time, because all my friends were going off to high school, or they were, or not high school, going off to college, or they were still in high school. Like I was in that weird,
yeah,
like I didn't go to college, you know. So I was kind of depressed, and I just fucking packed away. But I'd go to McDonald's and I would order, like, I remember this so specifically. I would order a large soda. And then I would get like 6 Cajun chickens because they were $1 each. And I'd just eat them all and just feel shame after I finished it. Like I'd just eat them all like it was no big deal watching a movie. And then I'd finish and just feel horrible about myself.
And you were also smoking a lot of pot.
Yeah, I was doing that too. That probably didn't help.
Yeah, I found that a lot of my weight gain can be attributed to marijuana.
Yeah, I can't blame it on it. I haven't even smoked forever. I mean,
yeah, I haven't either. So all the recent gain is,
it's just a lack of control, right?
Yeah, it's. I think for like me, it feels like I've reached a point like where it's too hard to like go back almost.
Yeah, I feel a little bit that way, but right now I'm feeling
that's
confident.
Like all in my head.
Yeah. I feel like I can drop it right now, but that's definitely in my head a lot. Because when you get older, it gets so much harder to drop weight.
Yeah.
And then you throw in, like, I'm a caregiver. So, okay. So this is the thing. I am passing this time of year where I have this excuse. But right now, every room I walk into has all these candied dishes, and they're, like, pushing food in your face all the time. And it's kind of hard. So that's also why.
Why don't you eat? You need to eat more.
Yeah, basically, I take care of a lot of Southern women.
Yep.
Who want to feed me all the time. But yeah, it's. I'm starting to notice, like, the stuff's starting to taper off since after Christmas. So I'm like, okay, this should be okay around New Year's Eve. I'll have a lot less temptation around, you know? But it's also hard with kids, too, in a way. I mean, part of the reason why I was hovering around 235, which is a comfortable weight for me. Like, I'm a little bit overweight when I'm 235, but I feel healthy.
Yeah.
You know, when I got together with my wife, like, she had all the kids, and then soda was reintroduced to my life, which was something that I completely... The only time I drank soda was when I drank whiskey. Like, that was it. Like, I would drink a shot of whiskey and have a Coke back to, like, numb the nasty taste of whiskey. And
to cool the burn.
Yeah, to cool the burn, exactly. And so, that sound of an elephant is Zach trying to figure out this uncomfortable
pull it towards me.
Yeah, we pulled apart the room. We're using, like, a super tiny table that's uncomfortable right now, which I'm sure really translates to an audio podcast. But, yeah, so that was the only time I drank soda. And then once I got together with my wife, it was like soda was constantly there. And I remember making, like, the hardest effort, like, trying to get the kids to never drink soda. And just realizing, like, every now and then they should be able to drink soda. Like, I'm being kind of a dick not letting them. And then once those floodgates were open, dude, I just could not say no. I just see the soda all the time and, like, the constant temptation. And then started with a little bit of weight and just gained and gained and gained. Yeah. So what do you do? I'm sure people don't want to hear about my weight gain all the time, though, right?
Yeah. I know, because I've actually had some... blood pressure problems in the last year, so I've been trying to do 20-minute walks like 5 times a week. And finding that time to go on a walk for 20 minutes with kids is like almost impossible.
I love being able to go on walks too, especially if I can put earbuds in and listen to stuff. It's so nice. But me and my wife, especially in the summertime, we make time to go on walks all the time. We're pretty good about that.
Yeah, and then times like this when there's...
When it's winter and it's fucking cold.
And there's 8 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah, you can't walk anywhere.
Fuck that shit. You
literally can't walk.
Can I just say how noble it is of you two to be like, man, I just need to lose weight for my health. I'm like, man, I need to lose weight so girls think I'm attractive.
That's because we're married, dude.
Yep. Right? That is exactly the reason.
You right have there. To stay exactly as attractive as your wife won't leave you. Like, like, I know if I hit 3 bills, my wife's leaving me.
You're done?
She would never say it. I just know there's no wife that's staying with the dude who hits 3 bills. I just know it in my head. At least that's what I tell myself to make sure I don't hit 3 bills.
Listen, if that motivation works, you just let that ride. You just let that motivation ride.
Yeah, I mean, I don't honestly believe that, but I kind of do, which is why I have to keep it so that I kind of believe that. Or I'm fucked, dude. I'll be like that dude who's like, y'all say something about steak?
I want all the ham.
Yeah.
Here's how I will motivate any man out there who's thinking he might need to lose weight. If you get naked to shower in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go, all right, it may be time to lose weight. If you look at yourself and go, yeah.
See, that's never how I do it. How I do it is I like suck in my gut and I find just the right angle in the mirror where I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, that's how I do it as a single man. Like, I just have to approach women from this angle always.
Always and only. I've never found.
Straight on, I'm a goddamn handsome man, especially when I have my arms down by my love handles wearing a giant jacket.
I've tried that where I look in the mirror for the right angle and every time I'm just like, man. You gotta fix some shit, man. And it's different shit depending on the angle. But no matter what angle, it's like, man, you got some problems you gotta work out.
Well, you're not even that heavy. Like, I know you're not confident. I always about it, say but from the time I was 19 on, I was never as slim as you are right now.
Here's what I say is I always say I'm fat enough that it's sad, but not so fat that it's funny. And that's where the problem lies.
See, I think that's an area that can be navigated, though.
Probably. It means there's a choice I have coming to me where I decide whether I want to be a fit guy or a fat guy. And I have to make that decision sooner or later.
There is a thing, too, that, like, I know that we do this thing. Like, okay, women talk about their body image issues. If there's any women listening to podcasts, I seriously doubt.
This conversation is probably not for you.
But let's say that you are listening to it. Here's a guy's body image issues. It completely revolves around getting women.
Not completely.
Really?
No, mine, not at all.
Mine is completely around getting... I could care less what another dude would think. Maybe if you're... All right, if you're homosexual, not so much.
Yeah, then the equation changes, okay, so for sure.
Okay, so that... But for me, it was always like the only thing I really cared about my body was like whether I could get women with it or not. But truth being told, I had a friend who was like pretty heavy set, did really well with the ladies, did so well with the ladies. He never bragged about it ever. You didn't even know. He just had ladies all the time and you didn't know.
And that's and
like,
the thing is
he had like that confidence.
Exactly.
And was, yeah.
And so my thing is I know no matter how fit I get, unless I fix my confidence, like this is just not going to be... It's just not going to be an it. It's not going to help. Like, I could have a 24-pack, and it wouldn't make a difference if I have no confidence. That being said, you don't want to exist in that middle ground. Like, it's easy. It's one thing to be, like, the guy who knows he's overweight and enjoys it and can, like, have fun with it and be confident in it. And it's another thing to be the fit guy who knows he's fit and can be confident about it. When you're in that in-between zone where you haven't really chosen a... Where you're sort of riding the fence of health.
But see, I would say that's most people in America.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, most people are riding that fence.
I guess maybe what we've learned is most people in America hate themselves less.
Oh, I feel like... So, I don't know. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong here. I feel like most people are not confident in their body.
I don't think I've ever met someone who is confident in their body.
Like, even the dude who lifts tons of weights.
Even that dude's like, I could be more buff.
Yeah, there's always, like, an issue that led to him lifting those weights.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but a lot of times. Usually.
And even if there was no issue that led to that dude getting buff, that dude's always looking in the mirror like, man, my calves are not defined enough.
Yeah.
Like, there's always something that just throws you off about
yourself. There was a time in high school where I honestly believed that if I could build up my biceps, I would get more girls. I was dead convinced. Like, I had a friend who would, like, he did this one exercise that was just, like, when we would weightlift in gym class, like, he was like, dude, this one will totally build up your biceps. And you basically just lifted these weights, like, really fast over and over again. And it did. It worked. I built up my biceps. It didn't help with the ladies at all, dude. Do you think women give a shit about biceps? They don't. They might like an overall muscly man, some women. But not just like biceps.
Hey, the one muscle that could actually make a difference is when you get the pecs where they can dance.
But even that is like, guys are more entertained by that than women.
Hey, I know a lot of women that are really entertained by that. So.
But is that going to get you a date or is that just going to get a laugh? Maybe it's a foot in the door. It's the same thing I used to say about being in a band. Like... The rumor, or not the rumor, but the stereotype is once you're in a band, you get tons of tail. And it's just not true at all.
I can't see that, actually.
What you get in a band is if you actually get an audience together, you get a foot in the door and that's it. You get a chance and that's it. Because you're around women who are probably drunk. So you have a foot in the door. It's the same foot in the door as if you were talking to a woman and you're doing a good job at a bar. It's not even quite that much of a foot in the door. It's more of a toe in the door.
Yeah, that's definitely a step up when you're like actually talking to women instead of like playing on a stage in front of them.
Now, having a lot of money in a band, band, I'm betting that helps.
At the very least, it doesn't hurt.
That's probably up to a knee in the door.
Like even if you meet a girl who money doesn't matter, no girl has ever been like, oh, well, that guy's rich. That's a problem. Like, no one's ever upset about it.
Yeah, only in Coming to America does that happen. Only Coming to America is she like, you're a prince. You lied to me, and gets all upset. Like, that shit's just not real.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
I love that movie, but that scene always strikes me as so false.
Yeah.
It's just that you can have the big reveal at the end of the movie, but... Yeah. Yeah. So I finally got into pop culture and it killed it.
Yeah. Wow.
I finally talked about a movie and bam, nothing.
So I've been hit the record store shops down in Bozeman the other day.
You got the shiniest cover I've seen, man.
That sucker, like, and what they show, like the picture that I put up on the Facebook page, the group I'm in. like doesn't even like begin to show how shiny this album cover is. When you like open it up, it's like it looks like you're opening Marcellus Wallace's briefcase. Like you, then there's words and you're like, I can't read any of these words. I don't know what any of these song titles are. Because it is like this, it's a reflective mirror almost. Actually, the album's called Reflector.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
But it's like this, it's like the back of a CD where it's that Mylar, like highly reflective material.
The really funny thing about that was our friend Dylan like went to comment, and all I saw was that he commented on that thing. And I'm like, oh, he must know something about the album because he seems to know every album. Like, dude, just knows music.
When
and,
you
like,
get
he's
in,
just like, that's very shiny. And I'm like, that's my reaction too.
Dylan, when he gets like anything 10 years past or more. He knows everything. Like, when you get into a lot of the newer stuff, he doesn't.
Not as much.
Not as much. Because I know I've put a few of the new albums I have.
But I'm not surprised. Like, in high school, that's all that dude did was listen to records. Like, you know what I mean? Like, every time we visit. And when we'd watch movies, it was like Yellow Submarine or it was something like that. Like, it was always revolved around music. Like, Guy had a lane and he stayed in it and he's fucking master of that lane now.
Listen, he made a decision. You can be a jack of all trades or a master of one.
See, I make that decision, but I make it a lot, which is why I'm now a jack of all trades. Because it's true. Like, there was a while where I was like, I am into music and making music and I'm dedicating so much of my spare time making music. I'm just gonna do this. And I was in, like, at one point I was in three bands at once. I was, a lot of the time I was in multiple bands. Like, when I wasn't in bands, I was sitting there writing stuff for myself. Like, I was just so into music. And then I got into podcasting and all of that shit went away. And now it's like, even the stuff I do for pleasure is usually revolved around the podcast somehow. Like, I at least know I'm gonna talk about it.
Exactly.
In the podcast.
It's like, this is just great fodder for later.
Exactly. Well, I think this is probably a good place to cut it off unless anybody had any final thoughts.
I don't know. Whatever your New Year's resolution is out there, listener, whatever it is, just know that I believe in you. And I know that if you work hard and if you stay focused, you can accomplish it. And the Montucky Skies podcast is here to say, you, man, you can do it.
It's a trap!
Don't do it. It's a trap. That's what I'm going to say. That's just because I wanted to do something on the pad.
I had Eddie!
Foghorn.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blue birds, best available, you had a good life, Montucky Skies, box office battle, Thin Men, and shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, On Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow, my whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network, putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.